And Jesus said to the disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." In the gospel lesson today, we hear the words of our Lord Jesus, who said to the apostles that he was going to go away from them. And this, of course, threw them into a deep consternation. It was in the context of the Lord's Supper. They'd been with him through thick and thin, seen the miracles of the man who is divine, and now the one who they really thought was going to deliver them from Roman occupation and establish them in a new kingdom on earth. All their worldly expectations, he now says he's going to leave. And it throws him into confusion and sorrow. But Jesus says, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, I will not send the Comforter. The Comforter will not come to you. But if I do go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." So this is another indication of Jesus proclaiming his divine nature, for only God can send the Holy Spirit. So he will send the Holy Spirit to them, and the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth, and he will strengthen them. And we see that he speaks about the Holy Spirit's work in this gospel lesson, that he will reprove or judge the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's consider what that work is going to be in the church. In the first place, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. And we see this especially in the lives of the apostles who themselves are converted. So think of Peter in particular, the one who had denied Christ three times and then was reconciled by Christ to the Sea of Galilee and given the commission, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend to my flock." And then on the day of Pentecost was full of the Holy Spirit and preached a Pentecostal sermon that brought 3,000 people into the church. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in his internal conversion, that inward motion of the heart where he comes to faith in the living Lord and believes in the resurrected Christ, and then has strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim that to the world, and then that has an effect on others. And they too, by the Holy Spirit, are brought to conversion, to baptism, and to the increase of the church. So that is an example that every time now that we are convicted of sin, when in our own hearts we don't judge ourselves according to the standards of the world, or try and say that I'm okay because I'm not bad like other people are, grading ourselves on the curve, but instead see who Jesus is and go, "Wow, I am not as good as him," right? That kind of conviction where we see that we are to be like Christ and we're far from that, that conviction is one of the works of the Holy Spirit, to come then to repentance, as the people did on the day of Pentecost, then to come to the sacraments of the church, if we haven't been baptized, to be baptized, or to come to Holy Communion, be strengthened by the Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in those days and today, because we worship a living God who is active in the world. We see also that the work of the Holy Spirit will be to not only convict the world of sin, but also of righteousness. And this means that it'll be the work of the Holy Spirit to vindicate Christ, to show who he is, and in particular, to show that he is different than the world has judged him to be. Now, by world, St. John is talking about not the created order and all the beauty of it and the goodness of the earth. He's talking about the world means worldly systems. These are the way that people have organized the world, but apart from God. It is the way that the sons of Adam and Eve have been trying to be God, but without God. So they have their own systems in place. And we see in the life of Christ how those systems work. What was the effect? How did they judge Christ? The ones who were in power, how did they see him? They saw him as a wine bibber, a drunkard. They saw him as one that could not be trusted. They saw him as one who was upsetting the delicate balance of power in their time. They were afraid of him. They envied him. They plotted to kill him. They put together a sham juridical process to accuse, convict, and then handed him to the Romans for execution. We see that that's how the world dealt with truth incarnate. That shows judgment on the world. It shows how weak, how frail, how ridiculous and unjust man's systems are. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to show that. And the vindication of the Holy Spirit is for Jesus Christ to rise again from the dead, to ascend into glory, to be accepted into heaven and reign now at the right hand of the Father. And so the world says, this man is a bad actor. And God raises him up from the dead and receives him into glory, gives him the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every knee shall proclaim that Jesus, every voice shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It shines a bright light on the frailty of man trying to be God, and it vindicates the one who is truly God, made man, who has rescued us, and who is now exalted into heaven. And that's true in the time of Christ by the power of his resurrection. It is true by the proclamation of those who called him Lord. When Peter and John are arrested by the Sanhedrin, after they do a good work, they're out proclaiming the name of Christ, and on the way to the temple, there's a lame man who asks for alms. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, Peter says. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. The man gets up rejoicing, leaping for joy. The lame man walks. It's a miracle that people are talking about in the streets of Sanhedrin, arrest Peter and John, bring them to account. And they say, no longer can you preach in the name of this Jesus. And Peter and John say, well, you judge whether or not it's better to obey man or God. We're going to keep preaching the name of Jesus. And that is the power of those who will call Jesus Lord over and against those systems which would deny that Jesus is Lord. And Christians have been doing that from the early days. And every time that we decide to follow God and not fallen man in the sinful pattern, every time we choose the lordship of Christ, it brings heaven to earth and it transforms through the work that Jesus Christ is doing in the redemption of our human race. So that is happening now in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to live according to his precept and promise, according to his truth. We are to make this day a day of the Lord. And so may it be on earth as it is in heaven, in each of your lives, in my life. And that means there is now an oasis of heaven in each of our homes. As it's in each of our hearts, we begin to organize our lives according to his lordship, and the world becomes a beautiful place. It changes. It transforms by the living power of Christ indwelling us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will also bring judgment. He will also bring judgment. He will judge man's systems of judgment. And so an example of that is where in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the conversion of St. Paul, he goes on missionary journeys to bring the Gentiles to a knowledge of the truth, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they too can come to salvation. And with Silas, he's in Philippi, and there is a woman that begins to follow them in the streets. She's possessed by a demon. And she cries out, these men are from the Most High God. They bring the way of salvation. And I guess it's okay at first, but day after day, it gets wearisome. And finally, Paul turns around and says to the evil spirit, get out of her, depart from her in the name of Jesus Christ. And the spirit leaves her that same hour. Well, this woman was making a lot of money as a slave for her slave owners. And they were upset about this, that they couldn't make money off the divination anymore. So they let the magistrates know, and they raised a tumult in the city saying, these men are Jews, they're upsetting the order of Roman society. And there was a little mob action. The magistrates had them stripped publicly, their clothes ripped off. They whipped them, put them in jail in the deepest hold, had their legs chained to the wall. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing hymns. It shows the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength that can be given to those that are persecuted for Jesus' name. They were singing hymns in the depth of that prison at midnight. And there was an earthquake, and it broke open the prison doors. Their chains were unloosed. And the jailer, waking out of sleep, thought everybody had escaped and was afraid for his own life. took a sword to run himself through because he knew that execution was his lot if he lost his prisoners. And before he could harm himself, Paul cried out, "Do not hurt yourself, we're all still here." And the jailer called for a light, he came in, and he brought them out, and he said, "What am I going to do to be saved?" In other words, like, how am I going to get out of this mess? And Paul and Silas, Paul said, "Believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved and your household." And so he came to faith that night. They went to his house. The jailer washed their wounds. They baptized him and his family. They had a meal together. They came back at sunup. And Paul, in an act of great courage, basically said to the jailer, "Take us back to prison, and then you won't get in trouble." So they went back into the prison. Meanwhile, the magistrate sent word to the sergeant to come to the prison to say, "Let those men go." And Paul said, "No, you tell the magistrates they need to come and release us because we are Roman citizens. And we have been unjustly punished without trial, without being convicted, and put in prison." So the magistrates, when they found out that they were Roman citizens, they were full of fear. They came uncertain of what would happen, and they begged Paul and Silas to leave and to go in peace. And so they did. They went on their way. This is where Christians, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are shining a light on man's systems of justice and showing that they are faulty. It's where they are putting things right. They are delivering people from bondage to evil spirits, setting slaves free, showing the right way to act and behave. And that is the work of every generation of Christians, to notice what is not right with the world and have the courage and conviction to set it right. That is the work that we are called to by the power of the Holy Spirit in our own time and place. And that shows the great urgency of the work of the Spirit, that these things should be made right. We don't wait around for the Holy Spirit to do something over here. Instead, he moves through us to bring the work of the redemption into our own generation. So that is his power in our life, and we are to bring it forth. So on this day, may we rejoice that Christ has made promise of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice that the Holy Spirit has come, and pray that God will empower us by the same Holy Spirit, that we may be convicted of sin and come to repentance, that we may be willing to proclaim Jesus as Lord in all areas of our life, that we may be willing to set things right to the glory of Jesus' holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.